I've often said that when we worship, we are actually entering into a reordering of the universe. That when we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, there's this reorientation of us in the rightful place with God as King and us as His beloved people. It's what happens when we worship, and it's what happens when we sit under the Word of God as well. My name is Keith. You might be new here and not sure of who all the people are up here. Well, I'm the lead pastor here. I get the joy of leading this ragtag group of people that you see around us. We're very different than one another, aren't we? But is that not a picture of what God does? It takes people who are very different, and we come around the presence of Jesus. That we are one, not because we think the same, not because we look the same or even act the same. We are one because we are in Christ together. It's a beautiful picture of the kingdom. We've been walking through the parables of Jesus this fall, and I'm not sure how they've been hitting you, but as I've been entering into the parables of Jesus, it has been so good for my soul. I feel like as I have been confronted with the parables of Jesus, there has been a reordering of my heart, a reordering of my life, and it is breathing life into these bones. I hope the same is true for you. So let me invite you once again to sit under the preaching of Jesus as he leads us to the God of the kingdom and the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. It's on page 689 of the Bible in front of you. Matthew 20, verses 1 to 16. This is the word of the Lord. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. And he asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those who came, this is a great story. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said. "And you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Jesus, you are the living word. And this morning, we pray that you would meet us in the scandal of this story, that you would turn us right side up in an upside down world, so that we might see the God of the kingdom and the kingdom of God. And that in the end, Lord, as you've drawn us into the grace in your story, that you would set us out as the people of God in this world who live out the generous love of God, so that all might see your glory and come to worship you. And so we pray these things and commit them to you in your name. Amen. The story's upside down, isn't it? It's backwards coming forward. It's all wrong, isn't it? It's the story about a landowner who goes out to hire workers for his vineyard at various times throughout the day. And those he hires first, they work a full 12-hour day. Those he hires last, they work simply 1 hour. And then at the end of the day, they all line up to receive their pay. This is the story that unfolds. And in the story, at this point, there are three surprises. Three surprises in the story. Surprise number one, those who were hired last were paid first. This wasn't the custom. This was abnormal. Normally, those who come first to work are paid first, and they work down the line. There was a reversal of order. Surprise number two, those who were hired last, they received a full day's wage. They were given a denarius. It was a full day's wage. It was known as a living wage, enough for the person to feed their family and live and maybe put a little bit away on the side for a rainy day. Surprise number three, the people who were paid last were paid the same, or who were hired last were paid the same as the people who were hired first. In the story, there are three surprises. And in the surprise, do you feel the scandal? It's not fair. That those who would work a full day were paid the same as those who worked only an hour? In the story, there are surprises and there's a scandal, and we feel it. We feel what the workers who were hired first say in verse 12. They say, these who were hired last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of work and rest in the heat of the day. I mean, can you feel it? Someone call the union rep, all right? We've got a grievance to file. What kind of a landowner, what kind of an employer would do this to their employees? It's scandalous. I mean, aren't those who have worked 12 hours, haven't they earned more than those who have only worked 1 hour? Aren't they entitled to more? Don't they deserve more? We can feel the scandal, and as we enter into this story, we ask Jesus, Jesus, where is the justice in this? Jesus, how on earth does this show us the God of the kingdom and the kingdom of God? Story's upside down, isn't it? Let me help you hear the story right side up. I want to help you hear the story right side up this morning so that we might be led to the God of the kingdom and the kingdom of God. And now, in order to help you hear it right side up, I want to evoke your imagination. Will you let me evoke your imagination this morning? It'll take trust. I want to evoke your imagination through a story that I have put together through my own careful study of the text. Will you let me evoke your imagination? Imagine with me that you were there that day in the marketplace when the landowner showed up. Your alarm goes off early in the wee hours of the morning, long before the rest of the household wakes up. As you get out of bed, the air, it's cold on your skin. It's still dark. Your eyes adjust to the darkness of the pre-dawn and your ears to the silence of the house. You see, you're up before the sun, not by choice, but by necessity. You see, you're up first because you need to get to work first. You're up first because it's a dog-eat-dog world out there, as they say. And it's the early bird who gets the worm, as they say. Early to bed, early to rise makes you healthy, wealthy, and wise, as they say. But the problem is, no matter what they say, your life has never fit the cliches. You're up early because you need to be first in line to work because of your desperate need. The cupboards are bare. The family's hungry. And there isn't much work for somebody with your skill set. Let's face it, you've been handed a pretty small set. And so you get up, you walk through the darkness of the house quietly so not to disturb anyone. You skip breakfast because you want to save the family the noise of the clanking dishes, but you also want to save them the last of the food so they have something to eat for breakfast. You open the door and you make your way out into the dark streets as the sun begins to rise. It's about 6 a.m. You make your way to this corner in the marketplace where everybody goes, the unemployed go, hoping to find work, hoping that somebody would come along and offer them work for the day. And yes, it's as humiliating as it sounds. Standing on the corner in full view of everyone, vulnerable to the sideways glances of the employed who are on their way to work. Like a glorified beggar, holding out your hands, just hoping someone will come and give you work for the day. Because a full day's work means a full day's pay, which means a full belly for the family. Means food. As you take your place amongst the usual suspects, you see most of you were there together every day waiting for work. You stand amongst the crowd of friends and acquaintances, and the silence. Silence is deafening. It's deafening because the voice inside of your head is getting louder and louder, saying, "I need work today. My family's got to eat today. I need work, and I need work more than those who are here." And then the deafening silence, it's broken by a man approaching. It's the rich vineyard owner from up the street. He's come to give you work. And at first, you wonder, why has he come himself? Why hasn't the vineyard owner sent the vineyard manager to come and hire the people? I mean, that's the way it would have worked. Normally, they send the manager. Why did he come himself? But you push the thought out of your way as you push people out of your way to move to the front of the line, vying for his attention, shouting out your qualifications, telling him your resume, petitioning for the work. But it's all to no avail. He selects a handful of people, and they walk up off the street toward the vineyard. You know what the people that he chose? They were a lot younger than you. They were a lot quicker at their work than you. You see, their hands didn't ache with age like yours do. Their back didn't creak like yours does. Let's face it, they were the better workers to choose. You are often chosen last for the work just because of your lot in life. Three hours pass. It's 9 a.m. You're alone in your thoughts. But then all of a sudden, the man returns again, and this time he catches sight of your eye. He looks you in the eye. He sees you. He smiles. And surely you think, I'm going to receive work, but it's all to no avail. Despite your pushing, despite your petitioning, he takes a handful of people, and you're not one of them. Three more hours pass. It's noon. Same thing happens. The same pushing, the same petitioning, the same eye contact, the smile, but you're not chosen. You're not taken with him for work. Three more hours pass. It's 3 p.m. You see the man approaching one more time, and the first thought that comes into your mind is, why on earth does he keep coming back? I mean, this guy must be the worst vineyard owner in the world. You would think that the owner of a vineyard would know how many workers he would need at the beginning of the day, and he would bring them so that the work would get done quicker. He wouldn't need to pay as much that way, would he? Why does he keep coming back? What is going on with this vineyard owner that he keeps coming back? Could it be he keeps coming back because he sees that there's more of us in need? There's more of us who need bread? That there's more of us who need dignity? And the thought is dismissed quite quickly when he gathers up a group of people and you're not one of them. And he heads on with them up to the vineyard. And it's at that point that you think, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, what am I doing standing here? Maybe I should just go home. But you don't. You don't go home because you can't stand the thought of returning home humiliated once again. You can't stand the thought of entering into the front door of your house and saying to your children, I'm sorry, children, but there will be no food today. So you wait. 2 hours go by. And the landowner comes back. And he looks you in the eye again. It's like he's recognized you all along. He looks you in the eye, but this time he asks you a question. He asks you a question, and he says, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? And the question, it kind of like hits you right in the chest, doesn't it? And so you respond with a hefty mix of disdain and despair. It's because no one has hired me. Then he says the words you've longed to hear. Go and work in my vineyard. And with the words, you begin to run toward the vineyard. You run because time is money. You run because it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. There's only 1 hour left to work. You run so that you might work as much to earn your pay, so that you might have something for your family. And as you run to the vineyard, you begin to calculate, what is 1/12 of a denarius? Is it 10 bucks? And in that moment of calculation, there is a hint of thanksgiving that rises in your heart to know that at least there's enough for a loaf of bread and a small piece of meat to share with the family. And you take your place in the vineyard and you begin to work, and there's this strange sensation of joy because of the landowner. And then as you work the hour's up, and the vineyard manager comes and calls you to be paid, and you run into line. But you know your place. You take your place at the end of the line because that's the way it worked. The first workers here are the first to be paid. The last there are the last to be paid. But you hear word that the landowner has made arrangements for the last to be paid first. Who is this landowner? What's that all about? And as you put your hands out to receive the fraction of what you had been earned, to your surprise, you're given a full day's wage. A full day's wage. You think it's a mistake, and you offer it back and ask the manager what's going on, and you hear that the landowner wants you to be paid a full day's wage. Who is this landowner? Who is this generous master who would pay a full day's wage when someone hasn't earned it? Who is this gracious owner who returns again and again to the marketplace so that everyone has work? Who is this mysterious person who makes the last first? Are you beginning to hear the story right side up? When we hear the story right side up, it is the story of outrageous good news for those who are used to coming last. Outrageous good news. When we begin to hear the story right side up, it is the story of a generous God. A generous God who longs to see people restored into dignity, people provided for. It is the story of a generous God who does not treat people in accordance with their accomplishments and their successes, but a God who treats people in accordance with his character, his goodness, his generosity. It is the story of a God who doesn't treat us as our actions say we should be treated, but a God who treats us with his character, his goodness, his actions. When we hear the story right side up, it is a story of a compassionate God who doesn't want to see the privileged as the sole recipients of a blessing. But he takes great care to bring the blessing to those who know very little about privilege. In the kingdom of God, the last become first, because that is the effect of the generous love of God at work in the world. No one is overlooked. No one earns their favor. No one is excluded from his presence. It is all grace. Do you hear the good news? Do you hear the story right side up? Every human person has profound value to God, every human person. And God's love, his grace towards us, it doesn't ebb and flow with the things that we do and that we don't. I just said do. His love and grace to us, it doesn't depend on the things that we do or the things that we don't do. His love for us, it doesn't rise with our accomplishments and fall with our failures. His grace towards us, it doesn't rise with our good deeds and depreciate with our mistakes. That's not the way God works. The generous love of God returns again and again and again and invites everyone into the vineyard of joy with him. That's what Jesus wants for all of us. When we hear the story right side up, it is a story about outrageous good news of being brought into the love and joy of God. So, why then do we hear it as such a scandal? Why, when we read the story, if it's a story of outrageous good news, why do we hear it as outrageous scandal? Why does it sound so upside down to us? It's because we're used to being first. Or at the very least, it's because we've come to believe that you can make your way to the front of the line in life. And then by implication, we've come to believe that you can earn your way to make your way to the front of the line in some cosmic order that God has for our life. It's because we're used to being first, or we're used to thinking that we can earn our way to the front of the line in life. And you know what? This is the way the world works, right? This is the story that we've been taught from a young age. Work hard and earn your way to the front of the line. This is the way our culture functions. It's the story that we're told. Work hard and earn a reward. And the reward that you earn for your hard work is in proportion to your hard work. Right? Our world functions from an economic of reward for service. We live from an economic of reward for service, and the reward that you receive is proportional to the service that you offer. So whether that's a great idea that you come up with, or whether it's your entrepreneurial spirit, or whether it's the hard work that you do at your job to move your way up, the work that we do, the service that we render is proportional to the reward. It's the way our world works. And I'm not bemoaning the fact. I'm just simply making the point. This is the way our world works. We live from an economic of reward for service. But the problem is God doesn't work that way. God doesn't live from an economic of reward. He lives from an economic of generosity. He lives from an economic of grace. There is no earning your way to the front of the line with God. God lives from an economic of generosity. In God's economy, everyone has equal value because they are a child of God, made in the image of God. In God's economy, the first in line will make way for the last, because heaven knows they need it the most. See, God doesn't live from an economic of reward. He lives from an economic of generosity. And these two worlds, they stand in this conflict, this collision between one another. A world that is based on reward for service and a world that is based on grace and generosity. They come crashing together. And that is why when we hear this story, there is this crashing together. There is this conflict in our heart as we hear it. It's why it sounds so upside down. Because we so often live from an economic of reward, but God lives from an economic of generosity. But here's the thing. Jesus wants to turn us right side up. It's actually why he tells the story. He reverses the order. He wants to take what we hear as upside down so that we might hear it right side up. He reverses the order. Notice how he reverses the order in the text. Verse 8. When evening came, after the workers had done their work, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." Jesus reverses the order, right? This was one of the surprises. He pays the last workers who were hired first and then moves on to the first workers. This wasn't the way that it was meant to be. This was out of custom. And so why does Jesus reverse the order? Why doesn't Jesus just tell the story where the landowner comes and pays the first workers first? If he pays them their agreed and fair price of one denarius, he could pay them, they would go home, he would go down the line, paying each person the same, everyone going home. They wouldn't know what the last people were paid. The last people get the denarius, they see this owner is very generous, and everyone wins, right? The first aren't offended, the last are blessed, and everybody is seen as positive. Why doesn't this happen in the story? Everyone wins that way, don't they? No. Jesus reverses the order because if those who are first in line leave, they don't get to see the radical generosity of God. Jesus reverses the order because he wants to flip them upside down in order to turn them right side up again. He reverses the order so that we might be turned right side up, because sometimes our stinginess needs to be confronted in order to fully understand the generosity of God. Sometimes our sense of entitlement, it needs to be scandalized in order to fully understand the grace of God. And sometimes our privileged position needs to be usurped in order to fully understand the economics of God and his generosity. Jesus reverses the order because he wants the first to see the radical generosity of God, just as the last saw the radical generosity of God. And now, of course, they receive the radical generosity of God in two very different ways, don't they? For some, those who were last, this is a story of outrageous good news. But for those who are first, it's a story of outrageous scandal. But make no mistake about it, it's a story about the generous love of God. It's about the God of the kingdom, his character, and the kingdom of God, the shape that it takes in the world. And we're faced with it. Why does Jesus tell the parables? He tells the parables in order to reorient us. He tells this parable so that we might be turned right side up again. The kingdom of heaven is like a vineyard owner who goes out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. And the last, they become first, while the first make way and move to the last. Do you hear the story? And isn't this what Jesus has done? The Jesus who was the first, he was before all things. In him, all things hold together. Jesus was the first. But the story of the cross is Jesus left his place of privilege as God himself. And he comes clothed in human flesh in a humiliating way to enter into the experience of human beings so that he might take on the sin of the world, that he might become last. And not just last, but the last that dies a criminal's death on a criminal's cross, an innocent God-man who takes the sin of the world upon himself so that the last of us, the enemies of God, might be first as his children. This is what Jesus does. It's a picture of the God of the kingdom and the kingdom of God. It is our story as we turn to Jesus. He wants to turn the story right side up, and so he reverses the order. And we're left wondering, will we reorder our lives? There's no fancy application this morning, friends. Some stories just need to hit us, work in us. There's a line in Acts, in the book of Acts. It's in Acts chapter 17, verse 6. And it describes how the watching world, this non-Christian watching world, it describes how they saw the early church. And in the scene, we have Paul and Silas entering into the town of Thessalonica in northern Greece. And as they enter into the town, all the townspeople come out of their houses and surround them in the streets, and they say, "Here come those men that turned the world upside down. Here come those men that turned the world upside down." You see, the people in Thessalonica, in that city, they saw something that is often missed in the church. That when they saw Paul and Silas coming in the name of Jesus into the town, they saw the kingdom of heaven breaking into the world. They saw these two men who were on a collision course with the forces of this age, and they were leaving in their path not a path of brokenness, but a path of wholeness. Because as they came into every city, from city to city, proclaiming the good news about Jesus, the poor were being fed and restored to dignity. And those who had been chained to fear and to sin and to evil itself, they were being released and freed. People were being forgiven. There was reconciliation happening between people who were at war with one another. Governments were being challenged in their oppressive regimes. Religious systems with their oppressive regimes were being overturned. Here come those men that turned the world upside down. It's what happens when we follow the God of the kingdom into the kingdom of God. We turn the world upside down with acts of love, service, generosity. So let me ask you, how will you join God in his scandalous, generous love? How will you join him in making the last among us first? It is the way of the kingdom. How will you use your privilege to bring honor and provision to those without privilege? How will you join God in overthrowing the powers and principalities through simple acts of generosity and love,
grace.
Friends, may they say it of us. Here come the men and women that turn the world upside down. Let's pray. Jesus, your gospel reaches into every part of our life. And in this moment, God, how can your good news be in one hand outrageous good news, but in the other hand, an outrageous scandal? Life is complex. And you don't offer easy answers. But you do offer us the fullness of life. You do offer us the way to find life, for you have given us the cross. You've given up your life so that as we cling to you, we might be raised to the fullness of life. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray in this moment that where there are those in this room that need to know your generous love, where there are those in this room who have been last all their life, that they've been last in their family, they've been last in the way that they've been treated by their parents, they've been picked last at school, they've been last in line for the jobs, they're always passed over for promotion. For those who have been last, bring them to the front of the line, Jesus. And for those in our midst and in our city who have gone without food, bring them to our front doors, Jesus. We are here. We will feed them. And for those who just feel like they're last in this moment, I pray that you'd bring your grace, that you would give them in full what Christ has purchased on the cross. And Lord, for those who are used to being first, we will make room for the last because heaven knows they need it most. We will be your people in every sense of the word, Jesus. And God, my confession is sometimes I don't know how to do it. I know the words, I can speak the words, God, but I don't know how to live it. But as we follow you, day by day, you show us the way. God, we will not forget you in our blessing. We will not forget the people you've come to save. Follow the God of the kingdom into the kingdom.